Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. And we are going to wrap up the show today with one of the all-stars of our Center for Security Policy team, Fred Flights. Fred, I wanted to jump into one of the strengths of your portfolio, and you have been doing a bang-up job watching Iran and watching them dominate the talks with us, the deal with us, the region, everything. I mean, they've been taking us to the woodshed. They have beaten Obama like a rented mule in pretty much every interaction they've had with him. And there's a couple more pieces of this just recently that have shown how bad this non-deal, this faux deal, this Obama legacy padding has been. Fill us in on the latest outrages.
I mean, we know that Iran has been going on a shopping spree in Europe trying to spend its sanctions relief. The administration tried to play down how much sanctions relief Iran would receive. It had said that it would only be $50 billion, when experts were saying $100 to $150 billion. However, the Treasury Department yesterday said it, in fact, would be $100 billion. The State Department tried to depict this as a rounding error.
Yeah, and I would love a rounding error with my bank of $50 billion. Holy cow, that would make
that's exactly
my...
right.
Oh, my God.
But it goes to the heart. Nothing that this administration says about the Iran deal has been true. I mean, they've misled and exaggerated and dragged their feet as much as possible because this deal is just terrible. They've never owned up to what it really amounts to. And that's why there's efforts in Congress right now to pass new sanctions. Now, on the 2nd of February, the House passed a bill which will try to add responsibility to how sanctions will be lifted. It was passed, unfortunately, almost entirely with, it's called the Iran Terror Finance Act, with Republican support. It's going to bar the lifting of sanctions on individuals and entities involved to run the ballistic missile terrorism program. Senator Corker is thinking of sanctions on missiles, human rights, terrorism. He also wants to extend the Iran Sanctions Act, which is going to expire at the end of this year. He wants to do that. So does Senator Cardin and Senator Kirk. Now, this is interesting because these senators say, let's extend this bill right now so it goes past 2016. But the Obama administration is saying, no, let's wait till the end of the year, which means it'll never happen. This is an important bill which puts trade restrictions on law enforcement, ballistic missile and nuclear program. And frankly, I think the administration always intended to lift it, and they're not happy that senators are talking right now of extending it. The president is certain to veto this, and I think that probably enough Democratic senators will stand behind him. But these congressmen are really doing important work by raising the people's consciousness to how terrible this deal is and how we still have to take steps in light of Iran's continuing sponsorship of terrorism and destabilizing the Middle East.
Well, Fred, let's keep digging a bit into this, because obviously with President Obama in office, he can veto pretty much anything. Is there any hope that this Congress can do anything to bind this president from continuing to give Iran everything they want, or do we have to wait for the next one?
I think that the Democrats in the Senate are determined to stop, and the Democrats in the House, to stop any efforts to roll back the Iran nuclear deal or basically do anything that would undermine the legacy of this president. But still, I think it's worth putting the president on notice and making these Democrats take votes on this terrible deal. So basically, they're going to have to face the public at the ballot box this November.
So we've got, obviously, because we're a wonderfully free country, we get a chance to vote for both houses of Congress and a president. Does it appear that the complete national security malfeasance perpetrated by the Obama administration and aided and abetted by Democrats in Congress is an issue in the presidential and congressional campaigns, or has the public forgotten about this?
It's certainly an issue in for the Republicans. I don't think there's been a serious discussion about this in the Democratic debates, but when we finally have presidential debates between the Democratic and Republican nominee, whoever the Democratic nominee is, he or she is going to have some very difficult questions to answer about this in Randia.
And Hillary was bragging about it. Now, in the last Democrat town hall, she actually claimed that her role in teeing up the Iran deal made it possible for Obama and John Kerry to capitulate fully and to, you know, start delivering the satchels of cash and ignoring all of the Iranian outrages, and added that to her portfolio as a success as Secretary of State. You think that's another one of the weaknesses that the Republicans can hit her on?
I think so. And she's right. She did lay the foundation for this agreement. They were working on this agreement for many years before the interim nuclear agreement was signed in 2013. I mean, it would not have happened without Hillary Clinton's tenure at state.
We're talking with Fred Flights, Vice President at the Center for Security Policy. Fred, I want to move a country or so over, or potentially just another part of the same ongoing roiling conflict. There are talks underway right now with Syria and Iraq and Iran and everyone involved with the ongoing mess. And it's hard to tell. Obviously, we've never had a handle on who the good guys versus the bad guys are. But we've invited everyone and there's some talks going on. Is this anything more than diplomatic time wasting, you know, more formal lying, informal wear, nibbling Pettit fours and sipping mint tea by the pool? Is there any chance this is going to turn into something good?
I don't think the American people know what's going on with these diplomatic talks. The president, Secretary Kerry, have been praising their efforts to bring about peace talks. But we have groups who don't want to talk to each other. The Syrian opposition does not want to negotiate until the bombing of Syrian civilians stops, blockades of siege cities where people are dying of starvation stops. And there's a process for Assad stepping down, President Assad stepping down. The Russians have intensified bombings as the talks began, and it looks like the Syrian government and the Russian government are using the bombing as leverage to gain their position in these talks. The talks are a fiasco, and you know, they began on Monday. The Syrian opposition is refusing even to speak to the UN liaison, and even though certain minimum conditions, such as the stop of bombings and the ending of blockades, were supposed to be a precondition to a ceasefire, the administration of the UN is pushing forward with a ceasefire anyway. I mean, it's basically the administration wants to say it's doing something, even though the something they're doing is not going to have any effect whatsoever. It may actually make the situation worse.
And as you mentioned, the Russians and their, you know, puppet Assad, they seem to have decided that, no, he can stay, that'll be fine, and everyone needs to accept that as the status quo. And to enforce that, as you mentioned, they're willing to make things considerably worse. Is the combination of that Russian intransigence, and the Iranians are complicit in that, and the Obama's administration's desire to do something, if anything, as they've proven, it doesn't have to be helpful, could that lead to just an enforced ceasefire where the Syrian people have to take it and, you know, bow down to their continued dictatorship?
Well, first of all, the Washington Post has a really damning editorial on February 3rd saying that it's time for the administration to force Russia and Syria to live up to its obligations. We know that's not going to happen. But let me talk about a related issue, which I think is important. Senator Cruz has made this over and over again. What happens if Assad leaves? What happens if Assad leaves? We know that ISIS and the Al-Nusra Front, the Al-Qaeda franchise in the country, are making significant gains in the country. The administration has no idea what would happen if Assad stepped down. And we know a lot of these opposition groups are Islamists and want to set up an Islamic state. I'm really concerned about if the administration actually, if this dog actually caught this car, what will happen?
Fred Flights, Vice President at the Center for Security Policy. Thank you so much for your insight. That's going to wrap up Secure Freedom Radio for today. Frank Gaffney will be back to continue the war of ideas and the fight for the free world. This is Jim Hansen, and we're out.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.